Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are into August. We're into the Crab Cake Tour. We're into Raven season here. I have been out and about all over the Eastern Shore, all over Southern Maryland the last 2 weeks. This guy and his family have been doing that for about 102 years at Cole Roofing and Accordion Energy. Bill, you'll be happy to know that I made a right turn out of National Harbor and headed south into the rain on Saturday on day 7 of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And I saw these big, beautiful homes, and I looked up and I said, solar panels, look at that, all the way down to Indian Head, down in Southern Maryland. The sun shines, even Calvert County and St. Mary's County and Charles County. How are you? How's Cole Roofing? How's life? I'm just one crab cake away from, I don't know, like an ear corn or something.
Right. No, all is good. Definitely a little bit of dog days of summer, you know, kicking in. But I think it is interesting how much more acceptable solar panels are on people's houses. Not that everyone loves them, and not that they look the greatest.
I saw one on the roof where, like, they blended in. Like, yeah, I didn't look sure. Like it looked like shingles that shimmered, kind of, sort of. Maybe
all kinds of stuff. Yeah, there's all kinds of products, so it's cool. It's good. Summer's good. I don't know if I've had a crab cake recently, but I'm sure you'll tell me what I'm missing.
Oh, so. Billy! Whoa! What would you like to know? What I'm only, you know, 9-10 days into this thing. I have a few wild card days this week where, like, as I sit here today, I don't know where I'm getting a crab cake tonight. I really don't. Like, my wife and I are going to make a. I have like 5 or 6 spots, and whatever direction we're in the mood for. It's going to be 90 degrees all week. So I have wild card days built in today and Wednesday. And this weekend I will be at the Eastern Shore, although my lodging fell through. If you got a place in Easton or Oxford, let me know. COVID, you know, all that kind of thing. It's been a great week, dude. The Eastern Shore of Maryland is beautiful, and I'm going to, like, wax nothing wrong with the southern part of Maryland. It was beautiful too. It was rainy. It was lush. The crab cakes were better on the Eastern Shore, but we really have a beautiful state, man. Like, as my wife and I were sitting in National Harbor overlooking Washington, D.C., down onto the Potomac, and seeing all these children and families out at National Harbor, like, this right. Community that didn't exist 15 years ago, that's beautiful. That's a place everybody should go and visit and park their car and get a sandwich, you know?
Yeah, I think for as small as our state is, I'm always amazed at how big our state is, right? Like,
I'm finding really that tiny. I didn't know that.
It's really tiny, but there's these places that life has never taken you, and to get there, you just keep driving.
You ever been to Wynn, Maryland? W-Y-N-N-E. W-Y, like Jimmy Wynn, you know, the toy cannon, but with an E. Not like Steve Winwood, W-I. So what you do, I could Google map it for you, but yeah. You go down to the – here. You know, as a matter of fact, I will Google map this for you. I have a special thing set up, and I'm going to let everybody in on this if you're actually watching out on our YouTube and our WNSTV channel. I have a My Places Saved. That's the Crab Cake Tour. So do you like this? This is the secret weapon. I'm giving you a backstage pass here, Bill Cole, and anyone that's watching. All of these dots are places that represent things that I need to see, should see, might want to see. And I just did the southern tip. So I'm going to show you exactly where, and I didn't even have this place listed. This is Wynn, Maryland here. At the end, at the foot of this road, 252 and Wynn Road, there is a place called Courtney's Seafood Restaurant that's been there since 1955. And Tommy Courtney goes out and literally drags the rockfish out in front of this place, right? Like, this is what he does every day. His daughter waited on us, and this is Courtney's Seafood, okay? So this is a place that we went. They hate CNN there, as you can well imagine. And this is – This is the water. They don't get the internet there too. So there's a little bit between not getting the internet and not liking CNN. But this is like the Marlin on the wall. This is the buffet where we ate. We're talking like
– that's legit, man.
It was legit. You know what I mean? Marty Gary sent us down there, had, you know, legit rockfish right out of the water and crab balls. They serve – I don't want to be disparaging, okay? but they serve crab with tartar sauce in Southern Maryland.
That's okay.
I mean, it's almost like they treat crab like a fish stick.
And
listen, there was no cocktail sauce, and I'm not even complaining about cocktail sauce. I'm just saying the crab needs to lead the party. And I'm saying right now, the Eastern Shore just had more going on in that way. But I love my experience. I had a delicious salad. Tomatoes, you know, fresh tomatoes. They make their own bread there. I mean, we had our own bread. They put bacon on the soft crab sandwich and the mayonnaise. They slathered it on for me. They want to fatten me up.
Yeah.
How's your week?
There's something to be said. I know this is what kind of your inspiration, but you know, the adventure, the trying to find these places, and then like those photos, right? The legitimate stuff that you find along the way. I mean, I don't really know what that says, but
it says they're making a crab cake down there that you haven't had, and it's different. I promise you, the crab balls at Courtney's are different than any crab ball ever. I bit into them. I'm like, some lemony and orangey, and they just – that's the way they do it.
Right.
They're down in Southern Maine. They don't have the internet. It's the way they do it. It's the way they've been doing it for 65 years. Who am I to argue with it? You know what I'm saying? I had crab cakes over on the Eastern Shore, and Bill – I went to J.M. Clayton early on Thursday morning, got out of bed in Ocean City at 4:30 in the morning, a block from where the Marlin boats took off, and I kind of forgot. Like, I woke up, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to get to Cumberland, or I got to get to Cambridge. And Jack Brooks met me over on the dock. I have never been off 50 in Cambridge. I never even went to the Tasty Freeze, even though there was a Tasty Freeze there. I never sucked on a chili dog there. Unfortunately, and I am going to Ocean Odyssey across the street, which is a legendary place. I will be there this week. Friday is going to be my day at Ocean Odyssey. So I got off of 50 and I went into Cambridge. I made a right turn right past the Bill Burton Bridge. And I work with Bill Burton, you know, right where the road bend, right where the Tasty Freeze was. You make the right there and you go into downtown Cambridge. Downtown Cambridge is on the right. The Hyatt is up on the left or whatever.
Yep.
Delicious. You ever been to Suicide Bridge restaurant?
No. No.
It's in Hurlock, Maryland. Okay. Bill, go there. Okay. Go there. Okay. That's all I'm telling you. So I'm not trying to disparage any crab cake or promote any specific crab cake. But when I tell you to go there, that's all I need to tell you. So you go into Cambridge, okay? And I went to the crab picking house, crab pickery is what I call it. It's J.M. Clayton. You can Google it. Jack Brooks meets me there with a straw hat. I've got 28 minutes of video of 80 Mexican women picking crabs at the speed of light. At the speed of sound, you know,
and somehow not drinking a beer the whole time either, right?
No beer. They bathe the crabs. I watched him pull the crabs out of the dock, out of the bushels, dump them in, put them in the steamer. He showed me the entire process of everything they do and things they used to do when there were more crabs coming out of the water and more people to pick them. They had these rollers where the legs come out, and they do all sorts of things there, right? But I went and saw this, and I had never been off of 50 in Cambridge. So I don't know what the cool part was. Whether the cool part was that he gave me a cooler and sent crab meat home for Dennis Colazzo's because I'm tooling around in the Chicken Palooza shirt and the Coons Ford Bronco that everybody was looking at, or whether the cool part was seeing the crabs come out of the water, or the incredible sunrise, or the stately historic mansions I saw going in there, or, you know, whether it was –
I think it's the superhuman skill of picking a crab at the speed of light. I mean, that all that other stuff you can sort of kind of find similar whatevers, but like the skill of picking a crab at the speed of light, that is superhuman.
Dude, really. Dude, when I show you this video, when I show you what's going on, you know, this is the pickery, dude. Like literally, this is what's if I could get green screen will not allow such a thing, but you're going to see this. I'm going to be putting this up for everyone to watch. HD, straight up. You can see them pick these crabs. And Yeah. You wonder what goes into a crab cake at Suicide Bridge in Hurlock, Maryland, or what goes into a crab cake when you order it at Blue in Ocean City or Harrison's, or you go to Fratelli's in Salisbury, where I went last week, or you go to the Eastern Shore to Courtney's, where I'm telling you, it comes right out of the water there, right? Like literally. Or I went over to Solomon's and I had a crab cake there, right on the Patuxent. And then I went up to Captain Billy's, which is this giant crab house overlooking the 301 bridge down south of Waldorf, right on the Potomac River.
Right.
It's a place I've never been, Bill. And this is just the first week of the tour. I haven't even been west yet, man.
Right. So what are they telling you about the price of crab? I mean, what is this like? Hey, we've convinced people to pay this much for crab cakes, so we'll probably never go back.
No, you know what they're kind of telling me is production's down, less boats in the water, less people bring crabs out, way more demand. It's a demand issue, right? Like we eat crab cakes. We used to only eat them 4 months a year. Remember that when you wouldn't order a crab cake in the winter and you'd say, well, you know, there's the Sharpies would know the good crabs roll in September and October, but you kind of wanted them in May, which is why you had to pay too much because they had to go to Texas to get them. And then Jimmy and Joe at the barn figured that out before they figured out Trumpism, and they started flying the crabs in 95, and I'd watch it. And then everybody's got a crab cake, right? Every Greek sub shop in Baltimore has a crab cake, and they put some peppers in it. Some bitch about it. Some don't. And some put Old Bay in it. Some put J.O. in it. Some have some special thing. By the way, I have not had one crab cake with a speck of celery seed yet. I did have celery seed stuck in my teeth. Thank you very much. It was at Courtney's, and it came from the crab soup because it was in the soup, and I ate the soup. But I have not had any celery seed, which is kind of weird for me because I always felt like that was a prime ingredient in my crab cake or the one that I would make in my house. But maybe that's a poor Dundalk thing. I don't know. But I'm learning about all these crab cakes along the way, and I will say this to you, Bill, and this is my first pronouncement because you're like sort of my first guest. And it sort of dawned upon me in Southern Maryland, the quality, and this isn't any different than roofing or sports radio. If you want to go listen to Ed Norris tell you about sports, have at it. You can have the Venezuelan version of the crab meat or the Indonesian version of a red crab. But if you want true blue, if you want the real thing, seriously, if you want the real thing, it has to come out of one of those rivers on the Eastern Shore. It has to come out of brackish water. It has to be fresh. I don't think you can get the same. I don't think you can get an August crab cake in March. Like it's like getting a peach. I have peaches in here. I have corn that was shucked. Try finding that corn in February. Go ahead. You can't. You can't find an heirloom tomato like this in March, not even in a greenhouse. So what I'm finding is, and this is the God's honest truth, the quality of the crab meat. And then the preparation, like you have to really know what you're doing to make a great crab cake. And I have had a few subpar crab cakes on this tour. What I mean?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you go to Western Maryland? Like
hope that the crab meat comes from J.M. Clayton or some legitimate place.
Right,
and listen, and my wise folks, I don't have my wise mug in here because I've been drinking out of it. They're wise markets everywhere. There aren't a whole lot of ROFOs in Southern Maryland. There's a lot on the Eastern Shore. They have beer and wine to go with the Chicken Palooza. But I was in the wise markets down in Southern Maryland seeing – and they stock Venezuela. And they stock Maryland. They stock – you know, you can buy crab meat for $20 a pound, $40 a pound, or $60 a pound. I promise you, on Scout's honor, as I taste all of this, somebody said, "Ew, that crab meat, that's expensive." Well, get the cheap stuff and – you'll have a crab cake that tastes like that kind of crab cake. You're like, I don't know that you can put enough seasoning or mayo or to mask meat that is flavorless or less sweet than the meat that comes from the Chesapeake Bay. And I was told this by the scientist. I was told this by Damie Hahn. I was told that if I ate 30 crab cakes in 30 days, I would taste the difference. And I'm telling you, dude, I do. And the crab meat that comes from Maryland costs more because there's less of it and it's friggin' better. And it's also for a limited time only. It's a 90-day, 120-day product. So all of this goes into your business 101 of supply, demand, like all of that, right?
So I would tell you that, you know, prior to you just giving me that download, I mean, not that I didn't think Maryland Crabs were better, but I probably didn't spend, you know.
Let me teach you something. All right. I learned this on day one.
Thinking about that.
Let me teach you something. You know. I ate a crab cake on day one at Suicide Bridge. And I didn't introduce myself. I sat down. I was a long haired guy. I think they were making fun of me at the bar. They were playing country music. You know what I mean? And then they put some AC/DC and some Def Leppard on for me. And I'm like, the guy just ordered a crab cake and a water, and I'm driving to the beach, and I look like I'm not from around there, right? It is beautiful. Like, it's beautiful. Suicide Bridge. So it was the first stop on my tour. And you know why it was the first stop on my tour? Because everybody told me to go there. People told me to go there. Like, right. Really astute people from that part of the world said, go there. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
So I went there. I sat eating the crab cake, and I'm like, this is really good. You know, like, I don't have anything to compare it to other than 52 years of eating crab cakes and saying, this is in the class. This is moving toward the head of class. This is an incredible crab cake, right? And I know I'm going to have 30 of them, and I think they're all going to be as good as the first one or the second one at Harrison's. Unbelievable. Blue and Oshitty, unbelievable. Fratelli's. I had great crab cakes on the shore all the way through. Very different. All of them were different. But the first one, I got 3/4 of the way through, and I saw orange flecks, which told me it was a female crab because the orange would only come out of a female crab. I've been told by everyone smart that the female crabs are sweeter because of the roe. They're sweeter specifically from the eastern tributaries and the rivers of the Choptank and those rivers, Nanticoke, over on the eastern shore, because the water's more brackish. And the females get larger and sweeter, and they are the ones. You don't plate female crabs at Costas, right? You plate giant males. The giant males are table crabs. Every crab I saw at Jam Clayton the other day was male because that's what was running. They were all medium-sized. None of them were large because that's what they pick. The women, the Mexican gals picking these crabs at the speed of light at Jam Clayton here on H-2B visas for 90 days. With a skill set unlike anything short of a Stradivarius, right? Literally. They're like race car drivers, literally. And the female meat will be sweeter. The male meat will still be sweet because it's coming out of these rivers, right? And I found that, and I found the manager of the place later on. He gave me a tour, had no idea, still has no idea who I am. He's a wonderful man to give me a tour on a Sunday afternoon when the place was mobbed because he saw it was, you know, eating a crab cake pretty seriously. And I'm telling you, they're, unless you have it. And I asked him where it came from. He said it came from right there. And he pointed at the river.
Right, right.
And I said, oh. And when I ate the crab meat at Harrison's, Jeb Vitok and Ashley Harrison, Ashley's family's fourth generation, remind you somebody you know, telling me about their recipe. And he pointed to the bridge in Assateague. He said, my oysters come from there. So when people tell you the stew's good, it's because they came from there this morning into my stew this afternoon, your belly tonight. And that's why my stew's good. And I didn't even have the stew. Now I got to go back. Right. But the crab cake, same thing. He's like, I buy from the guy that crabs right over there. And that's where my crabs come from. And they're right next to the Atlantic Ocean, so they probably have some Sally and A. Dude, the meat's different. The Venezuelan meat's different. The Texas meat's different. The North Carolina meat's different. It's just different. It's not better or worse. And you can put mayonnaise and mustard and Worcester shot. You could, you know, and a chef like my friend over in Chestertown at 98 Cannon, Chris Golder, who was a galley chef on – not yachts. I'm talking 200-foot yachts where there's $1 million for the crew. You know what I mean? Right. Where like people rent the boat for $1 million for the week in the Caribbean or in the south of France, and he was the chef, right? So he could take Venezuelan crab meat and make it taste real nice. But once you taste the meat, you're going to know the difference between Maryland and a Venezuelan. You know, I got nothing against Indonesian meat or whatever, but I'm telling you, fresh meat from the Eastern Shore this time of year that's coming out of a boat into a crab cake with someone who knows what they're doing with crab meat, I might move over there.
I think the important thing to call attention to at this point is the relative insane passion that you're speaking to me with about the crab meat. So prior to this, I mean, yes, as a Marylander, a Baltimorean, whatever, we love our crabs, but not the way you just like downloaded on me for the last 20 minutes.
I'm eating a crab cake every day, dude. Right. Like, if you think I'm not being discerning,
no, I appreciate
and if you think
it,
once
right.
you've had a really good peach that you're going to eat a seven, you're gonna spit it out. You're gonna say, I don't even want to finish it. Like,
right.
I don't want like to corn. Have any more like crab corn. On my plate that I don't want to eat. So all of a sudden, I'm becoming a real, yeah. you know, foo-foo chi-chi.
You've kind of ruined, yeah, you've kind of ruined your life, right? Like once you have really good crab, you can't go back. And
well, it ruins my life every time I have an heirloom tomato this time of year or an ear of corn.
Yes.
Because I can't even look at an ear of corn in March.
Corn is definitely ruined. Like,
Well, you understand what I'm saying then, right?
Absolutely. I would prefer to only eat corn this time of year. You know, like, you know that every other corn. And I'm the one that we probably eat 6 years and I cook, you know, 14. And then I cut the corn off the cob and put it in the freezer bag and stick it in the freezer for December. Yeah. So
this is the week to do that. If you're going to do that to corn, this is the week.
Yeah. No, it's I mean, those are all really fun things, you know, and I guess somewhere inside I'm grateful that you can even do it right now, because I guess in my world I'm feeling this angst around everyone wanting to like shove the Rona back at us and get us to mask up or get the vaccine or what, you know, whatever the message is.
It's well, the message is safety, dude. So like, I don't think Brandon Scott wants to shut our city down or that Larry Hogan wants to shut the state down. I was in PG County, so I was eating a crab cake with Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who has MS and who is really struggling, you know, who's still like 5 years into her battle primary and didn't even mention it to us as we sat for an hour and then got up with a cane and we helped her. And she's a wonderful lady, went to school in New Hampshire. I mean, served in Congress for a dozen years. Talked to me about living in National Harbor and fighting National Harbor as a politician because they were trying to kill eagles and like the forest. All, who was going to get the money? Who was going to be there? What kind of businesses were going to be there? You know, and then she dragged me to National Harbor to get a crab cake because she wanted me to see it. And we were seeing Bruno Mars. And, you know, I would just say to you that day at 3 o'clock, we literally sat down. She had her mask on. And we're sitting outside and she's immune compromised. I mean, she's literally, she has MS. And my wife, you know, has her issues. And she said the mask mandate went into effect 3 minutes ago. Bill, we went to the casino 4 hours later up the hill. We walked, it was 100 degrees up the hill at MGM. Yep. We went in, we saw Bruno Mars 5 hours after the mask mandate. Now, let me tell you about Bruno Mars, because this will be interesting to you. And I don't know that I'll talk to anybody else. I might talk to Don a little bit about it. Bruno Mars takes your phone away. So when you come, my wife keeps her diabetes, her number from her monitor on her watch, on her iPhone, right? iWatch, whatever the hell it's called. So she was a little worried. They take your phone away and they put it in a bag and you keep it. And if you want to talk, you have to go outside. And they unlock it for you and you can, you know, and you have to have it off and like all that. I was without my phone for 3 hours at a Bruno Mars concert Friday night where everything was kind of taken away, all the technology. And we went in and this is Bruno Mars. It's at least $250 to get in. A lot of people paid $1,000. I thought the crowd would be much more high end. It was regular people who spent a lot of money to go, right? It was dominated by women, dominated. It was heavily African-American. It was very 30, 40 something, but a lot of older 50, 60 year old African-American folks. Date night. It was a Friday night. Dude, it was an $800 get in on the internet. It was a really exclusive kind of thing, right? And we went, and I thought it was going to be like a bunch of high rollers. It was real Bruno Mars fans dancing their ass off, singing every word. It was hardcore, right? We had the worst seats. We had the euchre seats. We're up on the roof. I was lucky to get in. Percentage of people wearing their masks inside after surrendering their phone, after paying $26 for this 24 karat coconut drink that came with a straw, look like, you know, that was a souvenir mirror ball thing. It was gold, okay. 24 karat, you know. We're in the back. I saw the whole crowd. We walked in. You had to get in line with your phone to get your paper tickets in a will call line. Right. You had to get whisked. You had to go down the end. You had to stand in another line to get your phone in a bag. My phone didn't fit. I had to take the rubber OtterBox off to fit. Okay. My wife had to go and get a special wristband thing because she's diabetic and whatever and could keep her phone. We get in. I'm in line getting a $6 water. The show starts. I have my mask on because every kind of people had their masks on. I went up into the bowl. People paid a lot of money. Percentage of people wearing their mask during the show for 2.5 hours at a Bruno Mars show in a casino. Percentage, Bill, of wearing their mask under a mandate, PG County started at 3 p.m. Nobody was saying, put your mask on, by the way. I'm in a casino. Right. They're just happy to have you. Nobody is saying you must mask up. Percentage of people mask up at a Bruno Mars show Friday night. Bill Cole, go for it.
15%.
85%.
Yeah.
85% people, everyone around me had their mask on while they were singing. Because they respect the virus and because they see it as a health issue, because all of them have had someone in their community who had COVID, got sick from COVID. The people wearing masks clearly were vaccinated too. These are intelligent people. So 85% of the people, I'm not kidding you. 85% of the people, the chicks that were dressed hot with the heels and everything going on, mask on. And Gucci mask, a mask that matched their a dress-up mask. So I don't know, dude. That's what I experienced at Bruno Mars. And when I walked out, everybody had masks on. We wore a mask to the edge. When I was in the Shake Shack in there getting food, people had their masks on. When I walked through the casino, people had their masks on. Like for the most part. Some people didn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, the mask, it's not a big deal, right? But my question is, like, if you're an average, well, doesn't really matter because
it won't be that way in Meriwether. It's outside at James Taylor, right? Like, I'm going to Meriwether this week. It won't be masked like that. It was inside in a casino. All of our heads say inside different.
I'm not standing
and dancing next to people in an auditorium. I mean,
I am not
probably not safe, dude.
I am not flying to Las Vegas today because Las Vegas is 24/7 mask and it's 140 degrees. So it's not like I'm hanging outside and I'm not going to wander around for 3 days in the casino with my mask on. That just seemed to be a miserable concept. So
my cousin came here and gambled live back in January. And I asked him how it was. He said they had like little booths at the blackjack table where you know, like it was like cubicle betting. And I'm like, man, you must be a degenerate gambler. Cause like that just doesn't sound like fun to me. It sounds like, you know, sex through a wall or like, you know, coffee with too much water or like crab cake from Asia. You know, it's like not what I would do.
It's this decision. Like, I get it about the health aspects and respect and all that. I wish I understood more and I wish I had more intel, you know, and more data and all that good stuff.
Well, the data is very easy. The hospitals are filled up all over the country with people who aren't getting shots. And the data is pretty clear that right side governors and those kinds of laws have begat just insanity about whether you should get vaccinated or not. Like I growing up, there was no thought that they were going to let me into Colgate Elementary if I didn't have my shots because our parents lived through polio and measles and a bunch of shit I don't even remember. You know, I mean, seriously, like it's a plague. Respect it. It's science. Go with the 99.9% of the doctors. I don't, I don't have any pushback on this other than if we all got vaccinated, this would be over with. We're not all getting vaccinated with. So we have to learn to live with this now.
Well,
because that's what this has become.
I guess that's where I get hung up a little bit is.
Well, then you're watching Fox News. I don't know what to say, bro.
Hold on. No, let me explain. I entirely agree with you, right? Like the vaccine is a no-brainer. And when I find someone who isn't, it's not a really good conversation because, like,
everything the scientists told us was going to happen has happened from the beginning of all of this, going back to January of last year. Every single thing, and they said if we don't get vaccinated, there are going to be variants because that's how viruses work. So I'm trying to explain that to people who don't have the internet in Southern America. Like, I don't even know where to bridge that synapse where there's no trust. The problem is. Trust from low information voters. And the toxicity of lacking education and turning misinformation into information that you're sure of because you found the doctor on the internet. It's insane to me.
So the misinformed are also in the same category as the lazy. Just to clarify.
Well, this will be me going over to Hopkins and telling the doctors that were saving my wife's life about leukemia because I read that it was a bad thing on the internet. And maybe they shouldn't give her this chemotherapy because maybe it'll kill her.
So misinformed and lazy are the same group of people right now, right? Because to get the vaccine, you actually have to go do something. So if you're inherently lazy, you're not, right? And that drives me just as crazy. But
and no one likes needles. No one. No. If this came in a shot of whiskey, we'd all be good with it.
Right.
But I do think there's a wussy factor that I'm a big part of. You know what I mean? I don't like shots. I did not like any part of it.
I will share with you a video that I got from the president of GBMC. Like he's been doing these videos.
John Shashir?
Yeah.
I know John.
He's great. He's been doing these videos since the beginning of the pandemic. And they're like the best boots on the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like the dudes in the hospital every day. We have 12 COVID patients. We have 17 COVID patients. This many on ICU. You know, like he's straight up giving you real life data. And his last one was very much Delta variant vaccine stuff. You know, like, and he laid it out very much straightforward.
See, so you are getting straightforward. So you
part
of this is knowing where to go for information.
Yeah. My
Fox News is not that place.
My problem is I'm going to set the Delta variant aside for a second and just talk about those of us who have gone and gotten vaccinated and those of us who haven't. And I want to understand the automatic position of punishing everyone who got vaccinated, right? Because now we have to act like we weren't vaccinated. And you're going to make my football season less joyful. You're going to make the BMW championship in a couple. Like, what is that going to be like? What are those people going to deal with? You know, what are the restaurateurs going to do if they go back to 6-foot spacing or they start screwing with them again? And so what are the outcomes for?
Well, we've learned that there's no societal buy-in from these people that voted for Trump. I mean, they're just not going to buy in. They're just not. I mean,
but we've provided a vaccine. You have access. It's free. So,
well, then there needs to be a societal mandate. Otherwise, we have to wear masks. So,
why?
To say we're being punished.
I'm trying to understand why.
Because we're going
to
flood the hospitals with their deaths.
Hold on. To protect the people who won't get vaccinated?
I hear you're taking the piss on it. I get it.
No. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying that is sort of a. Like,
well, we're letting the dumbest people in our society lead our way, which we did for 4 years in allowing this fascist pig to be a leader and tell people get a shot and then tell people not to get a shot. I mean, it's insane.
So let me go back to the variant.
The grift of the politics never ends. This is a political issue in the country. It's not a health issue. It's certainly an education issue, but it's a political issue. This is
actually,
if you follow the voting map of red and blue and where the variant is, this is making science and making it politics.
But that's not political, Ness. It is from a tribe standpoint, but it's actually media, right? It's actually media that people are consuming that is associated with their tribe.
No, it's not media. It's information. Political. You're using the wrong word. Media, like it's me. Like I'm in the media, so I get the meeting every morning, and we all come out and have the same state. No, it's truth. It's talking. The media talks to people and disseminates information and calls bullshit on bullshit. That's what the media does. And if you trust the wrong media, if you're watching OANN and they're denying that murders happened, of children. And
that's where
if conspiracy leads your life and Star Magazine and National Enquirer, and you still think Donald Trump's an honest man, then I pray for you, and I pray at some point your God will tell you to get a shot because you need it, because we all need it.
I know. All I'm trying to distinguish is between there are not red politicians telling people to not get shots. Okay, there are red
batshit woman in Georgia does it every day.
There are red politicians questioning whether it should be mandated and all that kind of stuff, and maybe they're not out.
Or Rand Paul, who's a doctor, and telling you don't need it.
Okay, it's like, dude,
that's misinformation from the very top of government. It's terrible.
But for 200 years, we have lived in a country 300 years, whatever it is, where people are allowed to question stuff. Right.
But we live in a country where you couldn't get into a school or have a job if you didn't have a polio shot or tuberculosis or any of these other things that my parents lived through. Your parents, our parents lived through this. What the hell is wrong with these people?
We're on the same team here. Hold on. Listen, it's not the questioning. Right. We should question. Everyone should question. Right. It's not the questioning. It's the spin that gets done when people question things.
There's 200 million of us that had a shot in our arm, and none of us are in the hospital right now. That tells you it worked, right? I'm not dead. I'm going to the Grateful Dead show next week.
But you should still allow people to question everything. That's okay. That's healthy. The non-healthy.
And then you sit them down and you give them the reality of it, and they say, you're a scientist and you're legitimate and you've been doing this a long time and you have credentials. And look at Bill. He got a shot and he's okay. Look at Ness. He had a shot and he's eating crab cakes. So maybe Susie here should get a shot. Like, I don't think it works that way. But I don't think these people are going to change their minds, is my point.
Oh, they're changing their mind now. I guarantee you. Oh, crap.
Really? In Arkansas? Oh, yeah. In Alabama? In Mississippi?
I know that the pendulum has swung, right?
Well, Lane Kiffin has the entire Ole Miss football team vaccinated. Black, white, there's no female, all male. But does that move Mississippi into the 38th percentile or what? I don't think so.
Right. Might. Look, it's when you are only allowed to discuss things for 30 seconds, because that's the attention span of our world, and all media is driven by clicks and views.
Except Baltimore Positive.
You're only going to get, you know, the eccentric vision version, the one that gets the clicks. And when people create these Facebook circles where it's only the people telling them that what they want to hear,
it's amazing.
You're never going to break that down.
In a circle where you can fly a Confederate flag or put guns behind you and everybody thinks that's cool. Dude, if you have machine guns behind you on your Facebook profile, I am not your friend anymore. Like but your friends all think it's cool. Like I've seen this. It's amazing. Like, I'm like, who could be friends with you? You're dropping N-bombs in the middle of my Facebook. You are a race. You're an open Archie Bunker Dundalk racist.
All right.
How can you have friends? And I see, look up and I'm like, 848 mutual friends and family members. And this is the way they talk. And it's okay. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. But I thought that back – at the beginning of Trumpism. We're 6 years into this, and now that's turned into, I ain't getting no vaccine. I ain't no getting no vaccine. We've slipped a long way from, I like Ronald Reagan and I vote for conservative, you know, tax to whatever the hell this is. I don't know what this is. And when I run into people like Bob Ehrlich and Joe Slifka, I ask them.
I buy into the science that says these viruses mutate to prolong their life, right? So they become less lethal, more transmissive. I believe that. That logic makes sense to me.
Viruses are smart.
That? Right. Okay. So the first reasonably decent piece of news I sort of kind of read. I'm as guilty as everyone else of catching headlines and then not really reading the whole thing. But the Delta variant is more transmissible and has less lethal consequences. I don't know if we can determine that because so many people are vaccinated, right?
Less lethal unless you don't have a shot.
That's the part that we need them to tell us, because they really do have to explain that. It doesn't match the theory of science if it became more transmissible and stayed just as lethal. So, but I mean, maybe that's possible. But the question that was raised was, is the Delta variant actually what leads us out of this? Because it's more transmissible, so more people are going to get it, but it's less lethal, so it's not going to kill people. And then we're all going to get it. We're all going to get their immunity going, and then we're all going to be okay. And that was such a different message, right, than I had been reading everywhere else. And it was such kind of an optimistic sort of spin. I was like, yeah, I like this. Let me see if this is true. That would be great, right? That okay, it's mutated. It's a little less, it's less nasty now. And it's we can't.
I'm not completely weird of that. I'm shot up twice. If I get sick, I get sick. I mean, but I'm not touching people. I'm wearing a mask. I'm trying to be smart, right? Literally, I'm not trying to get it. I'm running around the state for 30 days, and I get that some people don't want to be near me.
People are getting it, right? That's kind of,
I've had a couple of people who've just said, I can't be near you right now. You went to Bruno Mars the other night. And I'm okay. I mean, I have been some places, but I have also stayed away from people, if that, you know what I mean? We were wearing masks, and that's just kind of, we don't want to get sick. Why do I want to? I got more. I got to get back to the Eastern Shore and get good crab cakes, bro.
I don't know if this is fair or not, but it feels almost more chaotic now than it did when it was
I agree. It doesn't feel like there's any.
Right.
It's the wild, wild west. We're all kind of doing whatever our thing tells us we feel comfortable doing, which may or may not be safe or not. I don't know. I'm trying to be as safe as I can be.
Right. I mean, the messaging is as inconsistent as it was before, this group's doing this group's doing that. And so
we were told by Fauci in the very beginning that if this thing meandered and lingered, there would be pockets and there would be cells where it's going to be bad here, going to be bad there, that it would not be a one size fits all. And that would F up government to begin with. Right. That would be problematic along municipalities.
Well, I certainly look forward to getting your passion about crab cakes as you continue on this path.
Well, I'm learning. I'm learning.
I'm
meeting
stuff.
Cool people, dude. And it's all because of you. I mean, the mayor of Salisbury got together with me after the mayor of Ocean City got together with me. I got together with Heather Mazier over in Chestertown talking about Andy Harris and talking about lots of issues on the Eastern Shore. I got together with Donna Edwards the other. So, I mean, things are happening. It's going to be a good week. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and, of course, Gordy Energy. Tell everybody what you do on people's roofs and how you can make their lives drier and better.
Yeah, right now we're trying to just take care of people's roofs without materials, because the supply chain world is completely a disaster and we can't seem to get any materials. And we're just doing the best we can in trying to find product that matches up with people's,
You don't really use rubber band and chewing gum and paperclips.
I mean, we may have to resort to that. We always made that joke, but the way the product delivery's going now, duct tape seems like a pretty viable alternative. So, I mean, you want the water to stop, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
You know, it's temporary. So, it's like a Band-Aid. It's,
yeah, no. It's commercial roofing, you know, we help people solve problems up on their roofs. And then if they want to understand what putting solar up there looks like, we know how to do that too.
They can put the duct tape over my mouth at some point here. I'm putting everywhere I go, they try to give me French fries. They try to give me, hey, our crab chips. You know, I'm like, oh God, the salt. So I am mixing in some vegetables here this week. There's going to be some rock and roll before the week is over. I might even slide a Jimmy Buffett concert into this thing. You can find Bill Cole at coleroofing.com. You can find me somewhere along life's highway and somewhere between Route 50 and Route 68. Dan Rodericks and I are going to be fishing the Savage River in a couple of weeks for fly fishing. My dude Sam Tudor and I were going to go out in Vienna, Maryland for Snakehead this week. We postponed that. It's going to be hot this week. I know that. So hang in there, everybody. Make sure you're checking out the hashtag Crab Cake Tour. Big thanks to all of our sponsors, including our friends at Royal Farms, Real Fresh, Real Fast, the Chicken Palooza Tour. I have had some chicken and some Western fries on this tour, as well as American beer that I bought in Berlin at Arofo. They have beer and wine at the Wise in Southern Maryland as well. So I got some craft beer there as well as some gold watermelon. So we're out doing our thing here all month long and making the Crab Cake Tour stick. And on a daily basis, there'll be a daily crab cake. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Taos in Baltimore, we never stop talking. Roofs, roads, and crab cakes. Baltimore positive.